So, since you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. That is, make a determined effort to keep your mind focused on God, rather than things that seem important in a worldly life. Because we know, don't we, that Christians no longer belong to the world because they've died to it and been raised with Christ. And so it says in verse 5, therefore put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. And Paul's saying to them, these are the sins that are typical of the life you once lived. Put those aside. Take them off. Physically get rid of them. And instead, there comes a second list. Because we need to put those things aside. That's the way you used to be. And there's a second list then that focuses on the damage of human relationships. Anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Lying. These are all sins involving the tongue. I don't know if you've ever thought too much about the tongue. It's a small part of the body. But actually it can do so much damage, can't it? The book of James tells us that. James 3 is all about taming the tongue. James 3 verse 5. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest fire is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person and sets the whole course on fire. And verse 8, no man can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. Is that what we want to be remembered by? Somebody whose words are full of deadly poison. But Colossians 3, verse 9 says, that's the old way. That's the old way. Don't lie to each other, because you've taken off your old self and its practices, and you've put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of the image of its creator. You've taken off the old clothes, and you're putting new clothes on. But generally, we look at Matthew chapter 5. And you know, it's really quite comforting, isn't it, coming back to the book of Matthew? Because we were looking at it earlier in the year. And to come back to it now, like coming back to an old friend. And here we are, back in Matthew 5, which is the Sermon on the Mount. And we've just had the Beatitudes. And then we come to a section about the fulfillment of the law. And Jesus talks about the law, and he's saying that he's coming to uphold the law. And he then takes six passages from the law, and he talks about the truth behind them. And the first one of those we come to in verse 21, you have heard it said, do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. Well, when did we hear do not murder? Where does that come?
Ten Commandments.
Ten Commandments. Anybody know which of the commandments it is?
Three.
Peter?
Six.
It's the sixth.
Oh, I'm so
glad. The pressure there, wasn't it? Oh, what if I get this wrong? The sixth commandment.
You know, if I didn't go for it.
No, because I didn't ask you. The sixth commandment, do not murder. But you know, Jesus points out it's not just taking somebody else's life that's a sin. But actually, it's the anger behind it. It's the destructive action behind it. And this is the same anger that leads to the insults like racha. Racha. It means stupid. It means you're worthless. It means you're empty. Or say saying to people, you fool. And Jesus points out all insults hurled at people carry the penalty of the fire of hell. And I just wonder, how often do we hear people being insulted in our daily life? When we turn the television on and we look at what our members of parliament are doing, how often are they insulting one another? It says here, insults carry the penalty of the fire of hell. And the Greek word that's translated as hell comes from the name of the Valley of Gehinnom, which is a deep ravine outside Jerusalem. This is the same ravine that, if you look at the book of 2 Kings, Ahaz, who was one of David's sons, was 20 when he became a king, and unlike David, his father, he didn't do what was right in the eyes of the Lord. He sacrificed his children. And he sacrificed them and he burnt them in this valley. And in Jesus' day, that valley was a rubbish dump where fires glowed day and night. Isn't that appropriate symbols of hell? And Jesus goes even further than saying anger mustn't lead to murder or insults. He says it's not simply enough to ignore your or control your temper. We need to deal with it by seeking complete reconciliation. If you're offering your gift at the altar and you remember that your brother's done something against you, leave your gift and go and be reconciled. Settle matters quickly. Because those burning with anger in their heart can't offer true worship. The anger destroys them. We need to get our hearts right and our relationships right before we can move on. But going back to Colossians, taking off the old self and putting on the new self. As we rid ourselves of that earthly nature, we become new in Christ. But not only are we made new, but actually there are no divisions. There's no Jew, there's no Gentile. There's no barbarian, there's no Scythian. And Paul's contemporaries would have regarded the Scythians as being culturally backward natives. They weren't people they wanted to associate with. In Jesus' day it was Samaritans. Who are the people we ostracise and don't want to have anything to do with? You know, it's really relevant for us today, isn't it, our divisions? This week I was watching England play football against the Bulgarians. And just the hate that there was for any black player. And I was really interested to listen to Gareth Southgate, actually, at the end of the game. He didn't actually condemn the actions of everybody. He said, I know we have this issue in England as well. So he didn't just say, you naughty Bulgarians, yes, it's a problem for you. He actually said, I know, this is a problem for us as well. And only yesterday, one of the FA Cup qualifying games was stopped because of racism. It's made me reflect on quite a few things at school this week, because my school is very, very multicultural. At the moment, about 60% of the children don't have English as a first language. And we've got over 30 languages spoken in school. And I'm always saying to people, you know, come to Cottage Grove, because you will see people getting on with one another and living in harmony. And yet I've been upset this week when some of my children have come and said, other people are calling me names. But not calling them names to their face. they're saying names in the playground, and then when they turn around, they can't actually see who said it. They can't identify one person who said it. And the one boy who's been speaking to me this week, I've been saying to him, well done for coming and telling us, because actually if you're going through that and you've spoken up, there are probably other people going through it who haven't spoken up. You know, isn't it sad that we live in a world where we like to pick on difference? That's not the world God wants. He wants a world where we live in community. And we put in our mission statement about just being community, building relationships and seeing God's kingdom come. We can't do that if we're looking at divisions. Back to verse 12. Paul's third word of advice is addressed to the Colossians as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. And he reminds them that they're capable of demonstrating the qualities that characterise the children of God. Therefore, as God's chosen people, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Earlier, Paul had told the Colossians to take off their old self. Now he's telling them to get dressed and to put on these qualities. Take off the old clothes that are full of sin and wear the beautiful new clothes that characterise us as Christians. And these are the virtues that will restore human relationships. But we can only have those if we're willing to forgive each other when we fail. And if we forgive in our own strength, it's impossible, isn't it? But then we need to remember how much God has forgiven us. Yeah? And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Cover ourselves in love. Purify our hearts. What a different world we would live in if we could actually put this into practice, if we could forgive others, if we could live in unity. And you know, the beauty about Christian community is that Jesus brings about a radical change in relationship. We just read on a little bit to verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as what members of one body you are called to peace. And this peace acts like a referee for us. Let me just stop there and think. Are we ready to take off the old clothes, our old nature? Are we ready to put on those new clothes? To be clothed in compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Are we ready to bear with each other and forgive grievances? Matthew said, if you come to worship and you find you've got a grievance, put that aside and go and sort that out before you can come back to God.